Religion conducive to health and happiness. The things of nature speak to man of his Creator's love. This world is not all sorrow and misery. God is love is written upon every opening bud, upon the petals of every flower, and upon every spire of grass. There are flowers upon the thistles, and thorns are hidden by roses. All things in nature testify to God's desire to make his children happy. His prohibitions are not intended merely to display his authority, he has the well-being of his children in view. He does not require them to give up anything that would be for their best interest to retain. The opinion that religion is not conducive to health or happiness is one of the most mischievous of errors. Scripture says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied." The words of wisdom are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. True religion brings man into harmony with the laws of God, physical, mental, and moral. It teaches self-control, serenity, temperance. Religion ennobles the mind, refines the taste, and sanctifies the judgment. Faith in God's love and overruling providence lightens the burdens of anxiety and care. It fills the heart with joy and contentment in the highest or lowliest lot. Religion tends to promote health, to lengthen life, and to heighten our enjoyment of all its blessings. It opens a never-failing fountain of happiness. No real joy can be found in the path forbidden by him who knows what is best. The physical as well as the religious training in the schools of the Hebrews may be profitably studied. There is an intimate relation between the mind and the body. In order to reach a high standard of moral and intellectual attainment, the laws that control our physical being must be heeded. And now, as in the days of Israel, every youth should acquire a knowledge of some branch of manual labor. Even if it were certain that one would never need to resort to manual labor for support, still he should be taught to work. Without physical exercise, no man can have vigorous health. The discipline of well-regulated labor is essential to a strong and active mind and a noble character. Every student should devote a portion of each day to active labor. Thus the youth would be shielded from many evil and degrading practices that are often the result of idleness. This is all in keeping with the primary object of education. Let the youth see the tender love the Father in heaven has manifested toward them, and the dignity and honor to which they are called, even to become the sons of God, and thousands would turn with contempt from selfish aims and pleasures that have hitherto engrossed them. They would learn to hate sin, not merely from hope of reward or fear of punishment, but from a sense of its inherent baseness. God does not bid the youth to be less aspiring. By the grace of God they are to be directed to objects as much higher than mere selfish and temporal interests as the heavens are higher than the earth. And the education begun in this life will be continued in the life to come. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The fullness of joy and blessing will be reached in the hereafter. Eternity alone can reveal the glorious destiny to which man, restored to God's image, may attain.